Dit is 26 minute oor 6. Die inligtingstegnologie groep EOH het vandag tussentydse resultate aangekondig. Nou, EOH is natuurlik die grootste inligtingstegnologie groep in Suid-Afrika. Dit het meer as 11,000 werknemers in diens en hulle lewer dienste aan meer as 2,500 groot ondernemings. Maar die groep was ongelukkig die afgelope paar jaar en vooral in die afgelope paar maande ook nie vir die regte redes in die nuus nie. Daar was 'n wolke van aantuigings van ongeruimthede en korrupsie wat oor die maatskappy gehang het. Microsoft het byvoorbeeld onlangs 'n kontrak met EOH beëindig weens beweerde ongeruimthede wat verband hou met 'n kontrak wat met die Suid-Afrikaanse Departement van Verdediging gesluit is. Nou as mens na die resultate kyk, skets dit 'n ingewikkelde prentjie. Die omset was basies onveranderd teenoor die vorige tydperk. Dit het so 8.4 miljard rand beloop. Die groep het egter 'n wesensverlies van 1,6 miljard rand gewys, maar dit sluit wesenlike afskrywings in. Die groep het 'n bedryfswins van 390 miljoen rand behaal. Dit sluit natuurlik die afskrywings uit. En die balansstaat lyk ook relatief sterk met omtrent 'n miljard rand se kontant wat in die bank lê. Steven van Koller, hy is nou op die lyn. Steven, welkom by die program. Jy is verlede jaar in September aangestel as die uitvoerende hoof van EOH om die besigheid om te keer. Het jy ooit gedink daar gaan so baie bye wees in daardie byenes?
Thanks very much. No, I didn't. I mean, I thought I was coming to do a good, solid corporate restructuring and it was fairly clear what needed to be done. The Microsoft issue, you know, was a bit of a bolt from the blue. We were unprepared for it. And so we've had to re-vector and re-change and up the pace. And so I was very excited today to see that the team had actually managed to reach such a, you know, critical milestone in such a short time, where we've managed to restructure the balance sheet. We've had our strategy approved by the board, and now the two are very much in sync, and we have a path forward.
Yeah, but the market surely liked the numbers and your message. The market, well, the share price rose by 55% to 20 rand and 18 cents. Of course, it's off a low base. But can you just summarize for us? There are many numbers in the results that are difficult to interpret. What numbers would you refer your shareholders, your clients, and your employees even to have a look at in the results, which explains exactly what the position of the company currently is?
The first issue is really most of the all the write-offs were non-cash items. So this was really just cleaning up the balance sheet, and I'll take you through some of those. But the key things to note for me and the excitement for me is, one is we didn't do any acquisitions and we managed to keep revenue flat. It's slightly up, but let's call it flat. We have some margin compression, but you know, from the 32% to the 20%, but a lot of that's explainable in change in mix or one-off items. The real margin compression has been around 4-5%, and so we're still in the high 20s. I think that pressure will continue probably for the next 12 to 18 months, because the South African economy is really struggling. The most impressive thing for me as well was that we've managed to contain our operating costs. If you take these one-off non-cash items out, our operating costs are flat, and that's so there's been no inflationary uptick in the costs. So we've, you know, done a good job of tightening our belt to manage this revenue. Mm. And then I think what's very important is that we still have 1 billion rands of cash in the bank, and that we've identified a number of assets for sale. We're fairly advanced in some of those processes, and I expect to raise around 1 billion rand over the next sort of 12, 18 months that will then right-size the balance sheet and make us, you know, a flexible capital structure again, so we can continue to consolidate the IT industry.
But one of the big problems for business is perceptions, and there have been clouds of alleged corruption and mismanagement hanging over EOH for a while now. And then we had the Microsoft announcement where they cut ties with EOH due to apparent irregularities relating to a state contract. How are you managing this perception? Is there a way for you to actually, you know, just address the allegations of corruption and misconduct, and what are you currently doing to reduce those perceptions or to ensure that they go away?
Yeah, so this is very similar to what I had to deal with at the banks. If you remember, I became the CEO in 2010, and that was just post the 2009 crisis, and I walked into libel scandals, FX fixing, KYC problems. And, you know, we went through a process. You have to have a look at how you put new compliance gates in so you know that all the new business has been done properly, and then you go and deal with the history. So we've using the University of Stellenbosch Center for Corporate Governance in Africa to redo our policies, and they've largely gone through that to make them best of breed. We've used ENS to help us with this ISO 37001 compliance. This is a UK corporate governance standard, and we hope to be, you know, certified by the 31st of July. I've then, you know, obviously gone with ENS, and we're speaking to all our key clients, taking them through our processes of what we're doing and how we're doing it. And I've continued with this historic investigation. And we have been obviously dealing with the culprits. It seems to have been largely at head office. You know, we run a very federated model. And so I've had to deal with that and deal with the bad eggs. And we will, as I've said, we will come out on the, you know, once we've concluded on the 31st of July on these initial issues, we will come out and give a report as much as the laws will allow me, but sort of along the lines of what KPMG did. And hopefully, the, you know, people start believing that we are doing the right thing, the new management are making the right changes, and we're going to have zero tolerance for, you know, corruption going forward.
Baie dankie, Steven. Dit was Steven van Koller, hy is die uitvoerende hoof van EOH. Amelia, wat maak jy van EOH?
Wat ek die meeste van hou is dat hulle omset nog dieselfde was op 8.4 miljard. Dit beteken is nog steeds 'n besigheid wat goeie sake doen. Daar was wel nou afskrywings en hulle marges is onder druk, maar dit is verblydend om te hoor dat hulle kostes onder beheer is. So ek dink baie van hierdie goed is eenmalige afskrywings en dit lyk asof Steven van Koller werklik waar die besem uitgehaal het en alles wil skoonvee. So dis vir my baie verblydend en
die aandeleprys is 55%
ja.
Op. Het jy gister aandele gekoop?
Natuurlik, right. Maar jy weet die netto batewaarde wat hulle vandag bekend gemaak het, was weliswaar 39% laer, maar dit is op 4.6 miljard en die markkapitalisasie van EOH was gister 2.3 miljard. So die helfte van hulle netto batewaarde. Dis nou 'n bietjie op vandag, maar is nog steeds nie daar net by netto batewaarde nie.
Ja.
So ek dink daar's definitief nog ek dink hierdie aandeel kan definitief nog verder herstel. Ek dink daar gaan nog onsekerheid wees en mense gaan meer bewyse wil sien dat hulle hierdie omset kan volhou en weer winsgewend kan raak.